Welcome back, everybody. All right. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Pete McMurray sitting in for Steve Cochran at 6 this morning for your morning drive. It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. Straight out of context, we've got You Big Dummy and more coming up right here on WGN. And Jay Thomas, who passed away, we're going to hear the fantastic Lone Ranger story that he told every year on Letterman's Christmas show. And we'll hear the version of that that he told in 2009. He passed away just yesterday. And I want to play that classic great story. But right now, Jim Hankey's going to join us. He's the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on the Now Playing Network. And what you just heard coming back was Gillian Welch with a song called Scarlet Town. And they were recently... Gillian Welch and David Rawlings were recently interviewed for an article from the Wall Street Journal that we're going to talk about. And Jim is an expert in the world of vinyl and records. And if you have any questions, if you're starting a collection or you're interested in vinyl or you have any questions at all in that department, call us or text us right now, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Jim to the show. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, man. How you been? Good?
I'm good. I'm good. You flatter me with this expert stuff, but I try, you know.
Well, the Vinyl Emergency podcast is on the Now Playing Network. You are up to how many episodes now?
Today, the one that just went up, if people go on iTunes, they can check it out, is number 68.
Number 68. Wow.
That's right.
That's amazing. Well, tell everybody about Vinyl Emergency.
Sure. So it's a podcast I started in January of last year. Our buddy, a mutual buddy, Jim Laskowski, had reached out to me after hearing me discuss records on your show and said he was starting a network and wanted a cool music podcast to have on there. So started in January of last year. And since then, the show basically talks about and talks with musicians about their connection to vinyl. It's not necessarily for your big vinyl nerds out there. So if you think it's going to be about rare pressings and that sort of stuff, we sometimes get into that, but it's usually about artists' connections to record stores that they've had over the years, maybe the first vinyl albums they remember buying, whether or not they collect records currently. And I've been lucky enough to have some really great guests on, and almost at 70 episodes now.
That's amazing. That's really cool. It's a great podcast. It's very entertaining, and you talk to a lot of interesting people. And I had the pleasure of being on the show on the podcast,
yeah,
which was
way back on episode 13, I believe.
Oh wow, was it that long ago?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh man. All right, cool. Well, so we played a little bit of Gillian Welch coming out of the break there, and there's an article in the Wall Street Journal that we wanted to talk about that is saying that the vinyl boom might be over. Tell us about the article and your thoughts on this.
Oh boy. So, I'm sure you and your movie review friends, you know, have discussions when they talk about film in this kind of way. Maybe you guys kind of roll your eyes and stuff. And it's kind of what's been happening in the audiophile / vinyl world with this article.
Yeah.
So there are some good points made. So for people who don't know, Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, they have an interesting history with vinyl. They've taken steps to ensure that the best possible audio from original analog tapes is used. And they also purchased their own lathe, which is the thing that you basically cut a record with, for $100,000 a couple years ago. So
wow.
They're taking steps to ensure that they get like the purest sound on their records, which if people heard that song at the beginning, that's a great sound to have. This full sound, it's really great. So their albums have not really been on vinyl before, and they've started to reissue them. This album from 2011, which we just heard a song from, The Harrow and the Harvest, it was a Grammy-nominated record that year, that just got reissued. But an overseas label had pressed another Gillian Welch album without her knowledge, done through a license agreement with a larger label, and she didn't know about it. They convinced that overseas label to destroy what they had made, and they also reimbursed that label.
Wow.
So it was money out of her pocket to kind of take away an album of lesser quality that was done only digitally. Basically, they took a CD source and put it to vinyl. She didn't want it out there, and they took care of it that way. So this article kind of goes on. It's two different tangents. One, Gillian, for as much as I love her and her songwriting, has basically said all digital music to vinyl is bad. And that's understandable for artists who have been kind of jerked around by a label that went and reproduced their album in a way that they didn't approve of.
Right.
And the other route that the article goes down there is it pitches the idea that vinyl sales are down because of this lack of quality control or digital files going onto vinyl. And they have given stats which are kind of accurate, saying that album sales are up only 2% versus this time last year, whereas previous years there's not only been double-digit growth, but from one year to the next, sometimes even there's 30, 40, 50% growth. So that's understandable. So my thoughts on this are two. First of all, it's not the case that all digital music on vinyl is bad. In fact, there's a great album by a duo called Sylvan Esso. They have some songs in commercials, you might know. They've got an album called What Now, which is just digital. It's just basically female vocals over beats and, you know, electronic stuff. And that sounds wonderful on vinyl. The bass notes that they get somehow are really, really incredible. The other thing is that the main market for vinyl, if you're talking about the argument being that the quality of vinyl is the reason people aren't buying as much now, it's just not true because you know, the main market for records are not audiophiles. They're going to hear vinyl and compare it only to digital, especially if you're talking about millennial people buying records.
Yeah.
They're not going to compare it to other vinyl records that they have. So to them, it's a brand new experience. There's not enough of a base that knows enough about audiophile level quality that all of a sudden the audience is going to go, we're not buying this anymore because it's a poor product. So that just doesn't make sense. The U.S. record sales are basically on track to be about 14 million this year. That's just full length LPs. We're not counting 7 inches, 10 inches. We're certainly not counting used vinyl. And that's still going to be up about 5.5% from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So basically my feeling, this is a very long way, Nick, of explaining that it's kind of a maturing of the market, if you will. You're not going to have the same growth year after year after year, but that doesn't mean it's going away. My feeling is let's talk about the boom being over when vinyl actually plateaus for a few years or it starts to go down. You know, this is physical media that's still being purchased, really the only physical media that people are excited about. And it's one of those articles that I feel is kind of clickbaity and it's just not the case.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me, too. I didn't know if she pronounced it Gillian. The only other person who spells it that way is Gillian Jacobs and pronounces it like that.
Right. So, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But anyway, back to the point real quick. Doesn't it also matter? You're talking about these numbers going down. Doesn't it also matter? Like what is being released that adds to it, right? And if you have a downtime when not a huge title is being released, of course the numbers are going to go down a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And you know, this Katy Perry album from this year is a good example. Here's an artist that does her earlier records do pretty well in the vinyl department. This new one, just in general, has not sparked the same love for Katy Perry that she always kind of has had.
Yeah.
But you know, now we are, you know, even tonight or this morning as I'm talking to you, a new Taylor Swift single is dropped.
Right.
Her new album comes out in November. If it's anything like 1989's numbers, I mean, that is
it'll
going
be huge.
To be huge.
Yeah, it'll be huge.
And Adele, you know, like, I mean, so there are people who, you know, your major stars, Beyonce, that sort of thing, they're selling tons and tons of vinyl. And when you have bigger names like that, they're going to bring in even, you know, a big percentage of vinyl sales for that year.
Right.
So we'll see at the end of the year, once we have Taylor's numbers in and stuff, you know, how things are looking.
Got it. Okay. Hang on, Jim. Okay.
You bet.
Yeah. Jim Hanke is with us. He is the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on the Now Playing Network. And if you have any questions about records or vinyl or you're getting into collections or any of that kind of stuff, the phone lines and text lines are open, 312-981-7200. And the news is coming up next. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday. That means all of our regular features will be coming up. You big dummy. Straight out of context. Don't have any spies this week. We will also have Fly Jams Friday. That's coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. My guest, and we're going to get back to the conversation right now, is Jim Hanke. Jim is the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on the Now Playing Network. You can check out vinylemergency.com for more information. But we have a link right on our Facebook page, which is why you should like our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. And if you have a question or a comment or you're curious about the world of vinyl or records, and Jim is here to help you out, 312-981-7200. And welcome back, Jim.
Hey, Nick. I was just thinking, not to interrupt, but it's funny that I've never been on Straight Out of Context for all the stuff we talk about, 12 inches and 10 inches and 7 inches as far as vinyl goes.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to hear myself.
Has Jim never been on, Dan?
I don't think so, but 236.
Yeah, there we go.
Jot it down. There you go. Yeah, people actually, you know, there are a lot of people think it's a badge of honor to be a part of Straight Out of Context.
Well, great. I will take it.
Yeah.
Gladly.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Jim, the music that we heard coming back from the break there was the great Roseanne Cash.
Yes.
It's Motherless Children, and she's just phenomenal. And you got the pleasure, I would assume, of interviewing her for your podcast.
Yes, she was fantastic. She was a couple episodes ago. People can go check that out. You know, however, you said the website before, however people listen to your podcast every morning, that's how they can listen to Vinyl Emergency. She was absolutely great. The reason I interviewed her is she had two albums of hers reissued this year back on vinyl. King's Record Shop, which was kind of like a big breakthrough for her in the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
And then Black Cadillac, which came after and was written about the deaths of three people, her birth mother, as well as June Carter Cash, and obviously her dad, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
So she, although she doesn't play vinyl currently, it was really cool to be on the phone with her. And she actually said during the chat that I've inspired her to kind of maybe dust off a turntable and get back to listening to it. Because, you know, part of the real pleasure for me with this show is to hear in real time people react to the memories that there are flooding back to them.
Yeah.
About, you know, and to hear about records around the house. I mean, to get to ask Roseanne Cash about albums she grew up with, because her dad, obviously there were her dad's records, but think about all the free records her dad probably got over the years.
Yeah.
You know, just think about that. And she's shared some really special memories about Beatles records that she loved, especially the White Album. It's the only thing she wanted for Christmas the year that it came out.
Oh, that's cool.
And her dad got it for her and stuff. So that was a really, really great interview.
I love that. I'm just picturing Johnny Cash going to a record store and buying the White Album. And that just makes me smile.
The man in black picking up the White Album.
Yeah, exactly. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So she was really great. And she's doing a really cool thing later this year. My wife and I actually just got tickets for it. We're going to go down and check it out. There's the Johnny Cash Heritage Festival, which is on the site of his boyhood home in Dyess, Arkansas.
Mm.
And she's going to play, Roseanne's going to play with Kris Kristofferson down there.
Oh.
And there's going to be some speeches and stuff. She's done a lot of work with the University of Alabama to restore her dad's boyhood home, as well as other homes in the area that were part of the New Deal from President Roosevelt, basically. Mm. So it's all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be a big weekend of music and just gathering, you know, on that site. And I figured, hey, we got to go down there and check this out.
Absolutely.
So
when is
really
it? When is it?
It's sometime in October.
It's in October.
You can go to, Johnny Heritage, Johnny Cash Heritage Festival.com, I think is the website. But it's going to be really great.
That sounds like a worthwhile trip, man. No question about it.
Definitely.
That'd be really cool. And just, the fact that you're going to get to see Kris Kristofferson, that's awesome.
Yeah, that should be really cool. And I think some of Johnny's siblings are playing as well. They've got music leading up to that day. I think most of the main attractions are on the Saturday of that weekend. Just super excited to go check it out. And who knows, I'm going to reach back out to Roseanne's management and see if I, you know, can't score 5 minutes just to say, hey, you know, thanks in person for everything. So,
yeah. Well, that'd be great. I love Roseanne Cash. I adore her. I always have. And I think she's a true badass, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. She's great.
Yeah. And now some of the other guests that you've had on recently, David Porter, who is a composer for, basically everything on AMC, isn't he?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. He's the composer of Breaking Bad. He did write that theme song, the iconic Breaking Bad theme that
yeah.
you hear
yeah, yeah.
In every episode. So he wrote that and did all the music, all the original music, I should say, for Breaking Bad, as well as Better Call Saul, Preacher, also on AMC, The Blacklist on NBC.
Yeah.
And he, yeah, I interviewed him because the score for Better Call Saul was pressed to vinyl
cool.
earlier this year.
Cool.
And the label that put that out was nice enough to provide some free copies for us to raffle off to listeners on the podcast. And he was really great, too, to pick his brain about, you know, how he creates episodes. Sometimes I never realized how under the gun people who work on music for shows are. I mean, sometimes he's working on music still for programs like less than 48 hours before they air.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I love the music for Preacher. I just think it's badass. I really do.
I've never checked out the show.
I'm
really excited to, though.
It's
yeah,
great. Awesome. It's really great. Ruth Negga, by the way, she rules on that show. She's amazing.
Okay.
So
awesome.
We got some texts that have come in, Jim.
Okay.
And if you guys want to jump in here, calls or texts, Vinyl Emergency Podcast host Jim Hanke is here. You got questions about records or vinyl or any of that stuff, 312-981-7200. John from Cortland says, I have an old B&O turntable from the mid-80s, base model number 1602, good working order, but needs a new cartridge, which is kind of pricey. Should I replace the B&O cartridge or buy a newer turntable? If I buy new, what's a good and mid-priced model?
Oh, boy. So, John, a couple things. Just looking up, there's a website, Soundsmith, it's sound-smith.com. They've got a list of basically every cartridge for B&O that you can order. For your specific model, cartridges range from $250 to $1,000 on this particular site.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I mean, you could get several turntables for, you know, the price of, you know, $1,000, obviously. So, you know, I recommend, and this is kind of like a midway model between a starter and like a really, really high-end audiophile level. Mm-hmm. I have a U-Turn turntable, and I brought this up on the show before. It was created by three Boston college students in engineering who basically wanted to make an audiophile level turntable for not a lot of money. I think it's just U-Turn Audio. If you just Google that, you'll find it. I really love the turntable that I've got. It's pretty easy to use, but a little bit better than some of your low-end turntables that you might be picking up at Target and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an idea. There are obviously other ones out there, more expensive, a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. I love what I've got, but you know, if you're going to go a new route, that's something I would recommend. But you know, replacing the cartridge for, you know, something like that, a mid-80s turntable, is going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So but those are the prices that I'm finding, and again, that's at sound-smith.com. there are probably other sites that might have these available as well, but that's what I was able to find rather quickly.
Okay. All right, John, I hope that helps you out. 773 area code says, to Jim's point about album sales, aren't album sales down in general because so many people just buy digital singles now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people like, you know, CDs and vinyl. Vinyl's the only thing that's going up, technically. Now,
right.
It's never going to hit, you know, the level that we purchased vinyl albums at during, you know, Thriller, obviously.
Yeah.
It just never will be. I just don't think it's fair to compare vinyl to digital and say, you know, like, well, vinyl's still really, you know, poor because look how big digital sales are. You know, digital sales themselves, people actually going into iTunes or what have you and buying albums, that's even down because of places like Spotify, Tidal, things where people can pay a subscription service and have access to all this sort of music rather than go to iTunes and just simply pay for one album at a time. So vinyl sales are really the only purchasable way to buy music that's going up at all. So to the caller's point, I mean, that is true. But LPs are the only thing that's technically going up when most of the industry is going down,
which is nice, actually, which is really cool. We've talked about this on the show before, not just with you, Jim, but, you know, I've talked about it on the show as well. The experience of listening to an album has decreased in popularity so much. You know, and I know I sound like a 90-year-old man, but I loved when I had vinyl and I would listen to it back in the day. I loved that I could listen to the entire album, that they're, you know, the album, listening to an album is an actual experience, and there's a reason why the artist put those songs in that row, or in that way, lined them up the way they wanted to, and in that order. And looking at the album cover, looking at the liner notes, all that stuff, we've talked about how great an experience that was, and that just doesn't exist anymore in the world of digital download.
That's right. And people who listen to this show, your show and Vinyl Emergency, I mean, we talk a lot about artist intent. And that's something that comes up a lot because, especially in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you had artists that were, you know, putting art, like real art,
yeah,
into the gatefolds and stuff. I mean, gosh, go look at a Yes discography,
yeah.
or something. I mean,
yeah,
like, just look at all that. It's just beautiful stuff. But that's one really cool thing that comes up time and again with the guests is how much they love that. Like interviewing somebody like Ben Montench from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Here's a guy who went through vinyl to CD, now to digital, like, and picking his brain and going like, what did you think of all that when it was happening, this artwork that's continually shrinking? And and he made a real good case for just the fact that in general these days we seem to have what he called a war on beauty, which was, you know, really cool to hear somebody of that large a caliber,
yeah,
talking about the fact that they want to see really good quality music on a really good quality media. You know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers did two big box sets last year of like pretty much all their albums up until now. It's just really cool stuff. And getting to hear from these guests that they too appreciate, they care about the stuff that they're putting out. You,
sure,
you don't often think that. You think a band is kind of like, oh, they're a band, but they're music fans. They wouldn't be in a band unless they were music fans. So
yeah,
it's really cool to hear.
Another recent guest that you had on from one of my favorite hip-hop groups from the 90s, Speech from Arrested Development, was on your show. Tell me about that.
Yes. Yeah, so he's, like me, he's originally from Milwaukee, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He was, and one thing I learned during the interview, he actually produced and was on the first hip-hop single ever pressed to vinyl in Milwaukee. So, you
wow,
know, not the biggest, not the first hip-hop single ever.
Right.
But, like, within Milwaukee, he was on it with an old group of his. So we talked about that, just a lot of, like, releasing records on your own. His dad actually owned a club here in Milwaukee, and he would get free albums from artists that were trying to play and record labels that were trying to book tours. So he would be, Speech would actually be kind of like the, what you would call a program director, I guess, in the radio days,
yeah,
for his dad. He'd be like, this is good, this stinks, this is good, that sort of stuff. So he would, and then, you know, we talked about him playing clubs and stuff around town. You know, talking about the big, you know, blow up that Arrested Development had in the early 90s.
Yeah,
You know, and he made up a good point of you know, for DJs and producers, buying records to them was like a mortgage payment. Because they would go into these record stores and buy instrumental stuff, buy old, you know, other
beats, oh, yeah,
and stuff, a lot,
yeah,
of music and everything.
Yeah.
That becomes part of their repertoire. So for them, it was an investment. It was just the same as going to a guitar store and buying new strings,
yeah,
or buying a new amp or something. I mean, that was how they were looking at it. And again, a really cool interview, super great, had a lot of great feedback on it. Because truth be told, for as much as I love hip hop, that we haven't had a whole lot of hip hop guests on the show,
mm-hmm,
which I hope changes soon, but he was great. It was,
yeah,
just a really, really great conversation.
I remember seeing them at Lollapalooza. I want to say it was 93 or,
mm-hmm,
maybe 93, 94. I'm trying to remember what the year was, 93 or 94.
Sure.
And
sure,
it was raining for the first couple of acts. Okay. And it was cloudy,
yeah,
and kind of miserable and raining. Arrested Development comes on stage, 63 people on stage, you know, the old dude in the rocking chair out there, and suddenly the clouds break and the sun shines like as soon as they came out and started their set. I'll never forget
awesome.
That. It was just like this wonderful, like it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was
so great,
by the way, it was 93. Dan just looked it up. It was Lollapalooza 93.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that band is so, you know, they had a follow-up record to their debut that I think a lot of people want to see pressed on vinyl,
because
I don't think it has. But yeah, that big album with Tennessee and Mr. Wendell,
it's
phenomenal. You know, people every day on it.
Phenomenal.
It's just such a
great record. And then Dion Ferris went on to a solo career. She released a couple of really great records too.
I saw her at
Double Door, you know, when that record came out in the late 90s, or mm-hmm, I was a smoker at that time, and her guitarist came out and bummed a cigarette from me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
So Jim,
yeah,
hang on, okay.
You bet.
All right, Jim Hanke is here. When we come back, Jim's going to give us a preview of some anticipated records that are coming out. What is coming out on vinyl and what's going to be out there available for you? We're going to find out. Jim's going to give you a preview of stuff that's coming out. 312-981-7200 for any record or vinyl questions, text or talk. We're going to take a break here on WGN and be back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. That's Queens of the Stone Age, The Evil Has Landed. Released on vinyl. And Jim Hanke is with us. He is the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on the Now Playing Network. You can check out vinylemergency.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. Jim, welcome back.
Hello, sir.
All right. We were talking about, I want you to talk about some of the stuff that's just come out or is going to come out. Is the Queens of the Stone Age, is that out yet?
That is out today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
That's right. So it's a new album called Villains. It has two different album covers. One is for indie record stores only. Obviously, everybody go out and support your own independent record store in your neighborhood. Mm. That's got kind of a not safe for work version of the cover, as best I can say.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to let you know of, I wonder if you know who produced this new Queens of the Stone Age record. It is none other than Mr. Uptown Funk himself, Mark Ronson.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah, exactly. When I heard Uptown Funk for the first time, I didn't think, this guy's going to produce the next Queens of the Stone Age record.
Right, exactly.
It's really cool from what I've heard. I've only heard a couple songs, but from what I heard, it sounds really interesting, very upbeat as always, but kind of dancey. It could be a big crossover between rock and pop radio this year, which obviously we need. There's so few rock acts kind of in the top 10 these days. Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age might be one of them. So.
Okay, interesting. What else is coming out that you find interesting?
Sure. So obviously we mentioned the Taylor Swift album Reputation. That's going to come out in November. That should be a big vinyl seller. One thing that's really interesting, there's a band called Brand New who have not had an album in 8 years. They're kind of a big cult favorite band amongst indie rock people, people who are into emo, that sort of thing. Earlier, I think it was last week, they released a pre-order for a brand new album with absolutely no details on the vinyl for $45, and it's still sold out. Completely.
Wow.
And 500 of those people who pre-ordered it were the first to get the album pretty immediately on a hand-numbered, hand-screened CD. So it was kind of like they just got this CD in the mail with no real artwork on it. They didn't know what it was, and it turns out it was the new, brand-new album. I'd still be wary, though, even as a vinyl collector, of shelling out that much money without some detail.
Yeah.
As far as what you're getting, whether it's a colored vinyl, a limited quantity of some sort. So no one's really sure what they're going to get when they get the album in the mail. But I've got friends who are gigantic Brand New fans who are more than happy to shell that out immediately. Yeah. So that's, I thought that was kind of weird. One thing I wanted to bring up is, Beyonce is putting out has put out a box set around her Lemonade album from last year, which was obviously a big thing. It debuted on HBO, I think, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, this is hitting vinyl for the first time. Now, keep in mind, Lemonade is still not on Spotify. You can only get it on iTunes, I believe. Tidal, definitely, because Jay-Z is tied up with Tidal. But this vinyl version of Lemonade comes with a 600-page book and a price tag of $300.
Wow.
For one, a vinyl record of Lemonade with all this other stuff. So
600-page book.
Yeah, indeed. Jeez, indeed. And it's probably got really arty, like, great photographs in there, I'm sure. But, man, if you just want some Beyonce on vinyl,
that's
pretty tough to come by.
No kidding. Hey, one of the other releases that I wanted to mention, which you actually messaged me about and I had known about, John Carpenter has an anthology of his movie themes that's being released.
Yes. That's right. And, it's kind of like an escalating price tag as far as if you just want normal black vinyl or, some really cool, like, colored stuff. I thought you would enjoy that. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, too, if you remember last time when we talked over the phone, you had opened a record from a label called Waxworks.
Yes.
It was a copy of the Shockwaves soundtrack.
Yes. It's fantastic. Good.
So Waxworks, two newest releases that you might find interesting. They pressed the Evil Dead 2 soundtrack, as well as Creepshow.
Yeah, I saw the thing for Creepshow because I'm on their like mailing list thing now.
Oh, good deal, good deal. So, Evil Dead 2 is one of the newest things, and so that's right up your alley.
That's fantastic. And by the way, Carpenter's coming back to town here in Chicago.
Oh, fantastic! You're gonna go?
Yeah. It's November 9th, and this time he played Talia Hall the last time. He's playing the Aragon this time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
I assume it's going to be this, you know, pretty much the same show, but I don't care.
Oh, sure.
So I'm doing the whole VIP thing and it's Carpenter. So I'm
nice.
The man. Before we let you go real quick, I recently bought a vinyl and a band included the code in the package that allowed you to download the MP3 of the album. I thought was a great idea. How often does that happen? It happens often, doesn't it, Jim?
It's more often than not. As a matter of fact, I actually get mad if I buy a new vinyl record and there's not a download code in there. I'm like, you expect me to buy this twice? But I pay for a premium Spotify membership, so you know I can stream anything on Spotify commercial free. So it, technically, yeah, I have the digital version, you know, but I would like to like download it to my phone and always have it versus only having it when I'm able to, you know, get Wi-Fi basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say 98-99% of new vinyl albums that you're buying will have a download code, or some are still putting a CD in there too.
Got it.
So they're giving you the option to always have it with you, which is great.
Very cool. Jim, always a pleasure, man. And everybody can check out the Vinyl Emergency podcast, and we have a link on our Facebook page. Great to talk to you, man. I hope you're having a great summer.
Yeah, you too as well. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care. Jim Hankey, everybody. And we will take a break for the news in 8 seconds.